Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. We are obviously discussing WNBL a little bit. We'll get to that in a second. But NBL Finals, it's obviously 2-1. Adelaide 36ers play at home tomorrow night to try and make it 2-2 to take it into the Game 5. But let me bring in my co-sider here. Hello, Botond. How are you, my friend?
I'm extraordinarily well and really enjoying the NBL playoff series and all the side stuff that's going on. You know,
it's been
Grant Kelly, Andrew Bogut, Kendrick Davis, Bryce Cotton, all the extra nonsense is happening.
We're just missing the Benny Hill music. That's all we are missing. It's fantastic. Well, speaking of like grand finals and championship series, today we have an absolute bottler of Where Are They Now? Now, this person, born in Brisbane, played college basketball at the Northern Illinois Huskies in the United States, returned to Australia, became a key player in WNBL, currently plays for the mighty Townsville Fire, has represented Australia at various levels, probably most known for the most consistent and versatile guards in the league, a proven scorer, can create her own shot, stretch the floor, a reputation as a leader and culture. Without a doubt, she's best known for her ability to take over games and deliver in big moments, particularly when the scoring bursts. And of course, played for, as I said, Australia, won a gold medal at the 2025 Asia Cup, but was the WNBL, grand final champion. She's a two-time champion, none other than Courtney Woods. Courtney, so good to have you.
Hello, thanks. Great intro.
Yeah, welcome to the program. It's great to have a Rachel Sporn medalist on the show. We've had a few great guests, but we really look forward to bringing you on because we're really interested in your career. I saw a story somewhere, or maybe it was a video, and I think it was a video of you talking after the game saying you don't have to be the fastest, the tallest, the strongest, whatever. I thought that was great. Can you just take us through why you said that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that, to be really honest, I've struggled with my entire career. And if I could choose to be like athletic or not athletic, I would choose to be athletic. And I've kind of gone back and forth with that a lot, but I feel like probably not until like the last couple of years, I just kind of came to like a place where I was just like, okay, I'm probably never going to be the fastest player. I'm never going to jump the highest, but I can still be a very effective basketball player that impacts winning. And I think like I said that after the grand final, and I was even like not being 100% serious. I was just like something I thought, like the guy asked if I wanted to say anything. I was like, sure, I'll say this. And then surprisingly, a lot of people really connected with it. And yeah. I think like there's probably more people out there that like 95% aren't athletic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it really did kind of relate to like a lot of people. So it's really awesome because a lot of people have messaged me and said they loved it and their kids love it. So yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Let me tell you this, Courtney. So as someone that did play National League and I was always the shortest, right? Always. Yeah. And you go around and you're still the shortest. But I was quick and that's what got me into the league. But I watched your interview because I watched the game and loved it. And I've got a son at the moment that's quite short, playing under 16s basketball, and he struggles because he feels like he can't cope. Now, his older brother was the same height and he's grown. But after seeing that, I rewound what you said, and I showed him that. And it's like, see, forget this. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to. Yeah. And I don't want to say you're not athletic, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. You are. Yeah. You are athletic, and you're an athlete, right? But when you talk about athletic, I hear what you're saying. So I thought it was phenomenal. Until you, I had goosebumps listening to it all.
You know who used to be described in that exact same way? A guy named Larry Bird.
Yeah.
They used to say that about Larry Bird.
I think did he play? Courtney, I want to go back a little bit because we always love when we start these things and say, what got you into basketball?
Yeah, so I was thrown in super early at like 4 or 5. So my mum played professionally. She played in the WNBL as well. So she's American. Yep. So she went to the University of Idaho and then moved to Sydney to play. And then met my dad in Sydney and then had 3 kids and I was the last one. And by that point, the whole family was at the Sutherland Sharks, the club that's still around in Sydney. So, yeah, so we were all in super early. So I think I was doing mini ball at about 4. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
I read somewhere that you were also pretty good at badminton.
Oh my God, yeah. I think it's on Wikipedia somewhere. I don't know how that happens. I literally play.
I thought, you could have gone to the Commonwealth Games. Yes,
wow. So versatile. I literally played in high school. I went to like an all-girl private school, so it was super ritzy, but I did badminton and field hockey there, just like with my mates.
Was that in Sydney?
Like, no, this is in Brisbane. So I moved to Brisbane when I was about 7. So went to school in the city, but played that just for fun with my mates. And now it's on Wikipedia. Like, she played badminton and field hockey in high school. I was like, can we get that removed, please?
So I'm from Sydney, and I'm on the board and with Sydney Comets. So now I know Sutherland is a thing. So does that mean you can come home and play for the Comets in the off season? How does that sound?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I'd be 1 point at the Sharks, I reckon, because I played I played 1 year of under 12s there, so I would have been 7 or 8. So I was quadruple bottom age 12s.
Nicholson plays at the Sharks, and Chantelle Bobbitt, who is your teammate, is now at the Comets.
I know, it's a big reunion. Yeah, but when I was at the Sharks, Lauren Nicholson, when my parents were at the Sharks, Lauren Nicholson's parents were there and Kate Gaze's parents were there. So they used to all, it was just this massive group of friends. It's just crazy that all three of us have gone on to be WNBL players. Yeah, so it's pretty awesome.
Brilliant. Love it. Now, talk to me about college. How, firstly, what made you go there? And it's interesting to hear the American background, so I can sort of see a bit coming in there. But how did you, what made you there? I don't know if there was AIS or anything, or whatever it's called now. I call it AIS. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so coming through, I wasn't in any of the Australian programs. I was like an okay state player. Like, I was just kind of like middle of the pack, nothing crazy, didn't have any major offers or anything, but I was really keen to go to college, not only for the basketball point of view, but also just like the experience. And I really wanted to kind of get my degrees over there as well. And obviously my mum went to college over there, so she was really kind of like pushing that. But yeah, I ended up signing Northern Illinois University, which like no one's probably ever heard of, which is fine, but I did 5 years there. So I was 18 to 23, and it was like an absolutely amazing experience. Loved it, met so many great people, got 2 of my degrees. It was very different to kind of what college is like now. Like, I was living off like $300 a month, and you know, making it work over there was definitely in the trenches. But yeah, it was a really cool experience.
You play with a lot of poise and a lot of confidence. At what point did you realize that you weren't that middle of the pack as you might have been in state juniors as a kid? Like, at what point did you realize, was there something that happened that made you think I can be an elite player in this league?
Yeah, I think like that kind of like comes around every now and then. So obviously I had that experience in college when I started to play a bit better. So it was probably my sophomore and junior year. I started getting better and started being able to do a bit more. And then I think you just like continue to get humbled as a professional as well. So like obviously I felt that in college, and then I came to the WNBL, and that's just like a whole another starting point. So it is like a very interesting transition, because my senior year, like, I thought I was this, that, and the other, and then you come to the WNBL and you can like barely even get a contract. So I feel like I've probably had it, like, you've climbed it, the mountain a couple of times, but I feel like there's usually another mountain behind that mountain. And same thing when you get in the Oz program, it's like it just kind of, you got to continue to climb your way back up.
There's a particular aspect of your game that I appreciate as an older guy and as a past coach, is that, you know, I keep hearing how the mid-range is dying and there's no mid-range. You kill from the mid-range. Every time you hit a mid-range jump shot, I go, yeah, it's still there. How much practice do you do on your shooting outside of training?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I feel like, especially at Townsville, I feel like when we train, we don't even spend that much time shooting and training, because I feel like that's just such an expected thing that you're doing on your own. So for us, it's usually like 45 to an hour before and after training that you're working kind of on your skill development. So then like when we are training, we're just focusing on team aspects. So, and I'm lucky enough, so I'm staying here in the off season, so I'm still working out with Shannon. It's really nice. But yeah, it's just kind of like a day-to-day thing, as and then the kind of like turns into months and years, and yes, so just kind of continue stacking on top of each other.
I'm going to ask you a question then. You're saying you're staying there. Are you doing NBL 1 or just working on your game in the off season?
Yeah, so I'll play NBL1 for Townsville. Yeah, so I'll be here, and then Shannon's here as well. So kind of doing, yeah, both of them.
And how many more years have you got left in the with Townsville, I mean?
With Townsville, yeah, I'm signed for next year currently. Right. Yeah, so I think there's six of us already signed to come back next year.
Now, I want to take it back maybe a year or two when, you know, I don't know if we call it the collective bargaining agreement, whatever it was, but there was definitely this huge jump that was rightly so, because if you look at the Opals, we've been on top for 20, 30, 40 years, and you see, you know, what's happening in soccer and the Women's Soccer League. And I mean, we have amazing women basketballers, full stop. And it's so nice to be recognized. How hard was it? And is it getting easier now? Because you guys deserve more pay. That's the simple fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of goes from top to bottom, and it ranges in experiences. Obviously, kind of where I'm at, like, I'm very kind of happy with my compensation. I'm living comfortably. But I think, like, what the CBA did was really kind of help the bottom kind of 25%. And a lot of the younger kids who, like, we had DPs coming in that were getting paid $500 for an entire season, like a 6-month season. So, and then even if you were like the 10th man on the roster, you're getting paid like 19 grand. So it's just not money that's feasible to live on, which is like, I understand. But then it's like, so then those players can decide like whether they want to make 28 grand a year and continue to kind of chase these dreams, because it's not like a lot of us need time to kind of get better and like kind of cement yourself in the league. And I think they were finding that a lot of those players were just being like, this, I can't do this, and then just turning to like get full-time work elsewhere. So the CBA changes are great, and like obviously there's a ways to go as there is with anything, but I think it's allowed those younger players to just have a bit more kind of like money in their pocket, and so they're able to kind of like continue on the grind and use those years to hopefully stay in the league.
You know, I'm curious, in your position as part of the Opals program, how do you feel about the amount of publicity and goodwill that the Matildas generate, who sort of seem to have come out of left field and captured everybody's imagination? As an elite athlete yourself in another sport, do you take that on board and say, hey, that's great for, you know, a high tide lifts all boats? Or are you a little bit like, geez, we've been around for 20 years and we're not getting that sort of recognition? Which is it?
Yeah, I think the Matildas are definitely the benchmark. And I think since they hosted the World Cup, they've been absolutely amazing. And I think what they've done is they've captured like the casual fan. Yep. So I feel like for the Opals, like at least my experience is like the people that watch the Opals are basketball fans. Like they're connected to the sport in some way. They're a fan of the game. But I don't think necessarily a random person is going to go to the bar and watch an Opals game, which I feel like the Matildas have done. And like, it's a bit of like that lightning in the bottle. I'm not even sure how they've necessarily done it, or whether it's like the sponsorship or the marketing. But I feel like I said, it's kind of like what everyone else is chasing now. So it's really awesome to even see that it can be done. And I think they played in the Asia Cup like last week and had like 70,000 people in the stadium, which is something fantastic. That's just unheard of for women's sports. So I feel like for me, it's just awesome to be like, because like part of you as well is just kind of like, is it even possible? Can we even get that many people there? Like, are that many people even care? So it's great to see that obviously it is possible, and they've done a great job figuring it out.
So let me ask you this then. You've won an NBL, I say NBL because it's,
okay. It's the same thing.
WNBL MVP.
Yeah. Finals MVP. Yeah.
Can I go?
Oh, to NBA, yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask that too. Like, what
WNBA, like, where are we at?
Yeah, I'm trying. It'll be interesting. I feel like this is such a funny year to try and get in, because obviously any person who is even remotely close is trying, because obviously the salaries have increased by 400%.
Yeah.
So it's probably like harder than ever too. But like I throw my name in the hat and I'll try to go to a camp and like see how that all goes. But yeah, it's just one of those things that I feel like you don't really know until you know, and it's just kind of like sitting around and seeing if it does. Yeah, so we'll see.
And the Olympics, obviously, or the World Cup first. Yeah. These would be things you're targeting.
Yeah, and it's weird, right? And it's like hard to like put yourself out there, especially when you're on kind of like the fringe of the program. But I feel like you've got to like try, right? So I feel like it's just even being able to say it out loud and just saying like that is a goal. But I feel like for me, I try to not have goals that like I don't necessarily have any control over. So I think it's for me, I'm just like, I want to be playing well and be impacting like basketball in a good way that I would be like considered to make that team, if that makes sense.
Do you also realize that you
hang on a second, Brett? Yeah. Can you play any better than be the MVP of the grand final? I mean, like, that's the biggest thing we got.
Sure.
You're the best player in that. Like,
yeah.
What else is there that you need
yeah.
to do?
Yeah. And that's kind of tricky, hey? And like, that's something that I've been kind of figuring out the last month is just like, I could play great basketball and I could be playing my absolute best, but I still like, might not be tall enough and I might not be strong enough and I might not be versatile enough. So like, I think for me, just kind of like having the understanding that I could do absolutely everything in my power, I can work so hard, I can play so well, but it still just might not be a good fit. And like someone else just might be a better fit for the position. So I think just kind of like doing the best you can and then living with it.
Do you realize you are the most humble superstar of the WNBL? You are amazing. Like, you just come up, I won the MVP of the grand finals.
That's funny. I feel like, I actually talk about this a bit. I feel like when you were, like, at the bottom for, like, as long as I was, you're, like, permanently, I don't want to say, like, scarred, but, like, you're just, like, never, I don't know. I just feel like for me, that's just changed who I am as a person completely. Because when I was in college, I was doing whatever at a mid-major and I thought I was the bee's knees. Like, I just thought I was so good. And then I came to WNBL and just got, like, morbidly humbled for years. And now I feel like that just kind of, like, changes who you are as a person. And then I think just, like, once you felt that, you just realize that it's that just stays with you.
Well, you were part of arguably, not even an argument. I've seen pretty much all of them. That grand final game two against Perth was one of the best games of women's basketball I could ever hope to see, not even sort of confining it to grand finals, but just generally.
Really?
It was
such
an extraordinary match. How did it feel for you? Because you fouled out in the game. Like, it must have been, like, terrifying.
Thanks for reminding her.
So good. Yeah, bloody hell. I don't know what happened to me in finals. I nearly fouled out every game. It was crazy. And, like, the whole game was insane. And then fouling out was so sad. And not something I have a lot of experience with. I think I'd fouled out maybe one other game the entire season. So for me, it was just like sitting and watching was like at the time horrific. And like, there was a lot of like guilt. Like, I was feeling a lot of guilt and a lot of like regret. But then obviously looking back on it and then what happened, it was like, even just like a bit of like an out of body experience to just be watching it. Because I feel like when you're playing, like, it doesn't feel that amazing because you're tired, you're trying to run the plays, you're trying to run defense, you know what I mean? It's just, like, basketball.
You're engaged, yeah.
Yeah, 100%, you're so engaged. But then to be able to sit and watch, like, the last 6 minutes, like, it was just, like, this is incredible. And I think, the entire stadium stood for all of overtime. So it was just, like, it was loud, it was crazy. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. But I feel like, obviously, because we won, I was like, oh, yeah, that was a cool experience. I don't mind that, yeah. But if we lost, it would have been very bad.
When Andrew hit those free throws at the end of regulation and you just had that small little window of offense and Ryan Petrick subbed her out, which opens the door for Chantal to get the rebound and kick it out to Mila Sowa. I sort of thought, wow, he's left the door open, and sure enough, when you saw that go down, that must have just, you must have just, it's surreal almost.
Yeah, and it was insane. And then it was like the group, obviously the regulation ended, and then it was kind of like, okay, now we're going into overtime without two of our starters. Because Alex Fowler fouled out as well, who fouls out all the time, so that was nothing different. So
well,
we're used
name,
to playing without her.
Name.
I was, yeah, bloody hell, yeah. So then it was kind of like a little bit, I think it was a bit of tension. But then I think it just turned into like, screw it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to go play game three at Townsville. So I think knowing that, well, obviously Perth's huddle would have been completely different because they're like, if we lose, this is over. But I feel like we had that little bit of like edge because it was just kind of like, let's just give it a crack, you know what I mean? See what happens. Like, we've got game one in under us. So, yeah, I think that's what gave us a little bit of more freedom and energy.
Did you feel, and I was interested because I don't know how much outside noise you guys listen to. Did you feel the underdog going into that grand final series?
Yeah, I think, like, in terms of, like, our team, yes, just because they had four Olympians.
Yeah.
And just stuff like, I think just like on paper, yeah. And I think they had four all WNBL players, and the only starter they didn't have was that was all WNBL, went to the Olympics last time. So it was just like a little bit of like, on paper, Perth Lynx were an incredibly talented team. They're great on the court too. And I think we just kind of had a little bit of like the underdog blue collar side to us. And that's something we've had here for years. And I think that's like, what makes us as a good team is we know we've got to work twice as hard as everyone else to win. So Shannon also does a great job of just kind of like getting us prepared for games. And I feel like a lot of that time it does come down to like being the underdog and taking the opposition very seriously. So I think so, yes. I don't know how everyone individually would feel, but I kind of felt like it was going to be tough to beat them, yeah.
It was fantastic. Okay, so this time of the pod, what we do now, the interview, we're going to throw you a name. And when we throw you that name, one-word answer, antidote.
anecdote, for crying out loud.
Or an anecdote.
Yeah, no, you, I don't know. You can say whatever you like, what just comes to mind when we say this name.
Okay, or a short phrase.
I'm going to start it off. Shannon Sieber.
I'm going to say friend.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going the Alex route. All of these are going to be Alex's. My first one is Alex Fowler.
I was going to say friend again. I can't just say friend for all these people. I'm going to say Olympian.
Ooh, nice. Alicia Froling. Friend.
Just like I'm gonna say just like she's just like will not be denied. Like she will not let anything stop her.
And showed that in the final series too. Yeah. Good call. Yeah.
Okay, I got next one is Alex Wilson.
Jeez. I'm gonna say someone I do not enjoy playing against, but I really enjoy playing with.
Nice. Izzy Borlase.
Oh. Like basketball crush. I feel like I love Izzy. I just like, yeah, love the way Izzy plays. Yeah.
She's got such a nose for the basket, doesn't she? Like, oh, when she just with like, the Opals, when she comes on, she's driving, she's going, yeah. She's doing something.
And we took a photo when she won MVP. We took a photo and I was standing next to her and Izzy's shoulders were like twice as large as mine. I was like, you're like 10 years younger than me. I'm like, how do you have this frame on you already? It's insane.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, my last one is another Alex, and again, another one from Perth, Alex Cibitone.
Chiba, I would say like player comparison. I feel like Chiba and I like play similar. So I would say like player comparison maybe.
Okay, we're cutting it here. Do you know Chiba? His parents own Burger Boss in Adelaide. Now, Burger Boss,
they used to sponsor us.
Right, so they used to sponsor our show. Oh. So when I went to Adelaide this year to commentate a game, right,
yeah,
and Boddy took me to Burger Boss. When you get to Adelaide, go to Burger Boss. They have the greatest strawberry milkshakes you've ever seen in your life.
Burgers aren't bad.
Yeah. And tell them Chiba sent you.
Okay, I got to write all that down.
Yeah, we got one major question for you now. Yeah, we're assuming that you're following the NBL, where you've been.
I am, yes. I actually am tuned in. Mm-hmm.
So how do you think? Is it four games Sydney or five games Adelaide? How do you think it's going to finish? What's your take?
I think it's going to go to, like, the home team winning every game. So I think Adelaide will win at home, and then I think Sydney will win at Sydney, which is
so
hard.
Let me say, Courtney, I am praying that you are correct because I get to call Sunday's grand final.
Oh, there you go.
I got to call last year's grand final game five. Dang. They're brilliant, so I'm hoping you got there.
And I love game fives, yeah.
Well, you love Game Threes too. We saw that.
Yeah, well, I think they're saying,
you don't even play Game Threes. You're too good, right? You just go to Game Twos.
Just two and a bit. That's all I
That's
need.
The Michael Jordan, isn't it? It's the Michael Jordan. No one takes him to seven
games. I love that. Yeah, that's where, you know, how many games has Courtney played and won in Game Three? None. She finishes it in two. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Courtney, you are a gem. Thank you so much for coming on. We were just spellbound by you this season, and in that grand final series, you were just phenomenal. Congratulations, so well deserved. We're looking forward to hearing you've signed with the WNBA team and back in the WNBL next year to get Townsville back to back, do I hear?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. I was like, can we just appreciate the one we had? That's what everyone's saying. It was like 2 days later, everyone's like back to back. I was like, all right. Settle down.
I mean, you got the core. You got six of the core.
Yeah, so all five starters coming back, which is pretty crazy.
That's brilliant.
Fantastic. Yep. Courtney, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
It's been a pleasure.
Wow, have we had a more assuming superstar?
Unassuming.
She wasn't assuming anything.
Yeah, but she also told us about, you know, when she was a bit high on herself coming out of college, you know, feeling a bit good and then being brought back down to earth. She's terrific.
You know,
she's
just
role model.
I mean, I never want to say I was at that level, but I had that in my mind. Was I good enough? You know, and that was always, you know, because I was short and small and all of this thing. And just hearing that, you know, the non-athletic and, you know, can I do this? And the way she did, as we spoke about the interview at the end, after she got the MVP of the grand final series, man, she's really cool. I like that. That was really nice.
So you said you were short and small and tiny.
Both of them.
Not very
all
tall.
All three of them.
Yeah. All right. And you did all right. You got the captaincy of the Sydney Kings, who are one win away from another championship.
Let's go back. So when we had our last chat, it was 1-0. Sydney,
and already a record had been set, the highest winning margin ever in an NBL grand final, with a 44-point win by the Kings.
Sydney coming to Adelaide, and you know, you're thinking to yourself, where's this going to go? And at half time, well, Sydney were playing very good basketball, and I think it was up 14 at some stage in the third.
Third quarter.
And you're thinking to yourself, uh-oh, where's this going? Bryce Cotton comes out and scores 15 points in the fourth quarter and literally carried the team. The next best scorer was three. It was 23-12 fourth quarter, and Adelaide win it on the most amazing, buzzer beater layup that you've seen. It was slow motion.
So quick, but he went so quick from end to end. I think he was down there and he knew that Torrey Craig was right there hovering to block that shot. So to go change his body and move to the left and then bend himself in such a way that he protected the shot was absolute brilliance. The ability to do that speaks volumes for how talented he
Point
is,
two.
But also his IQ.
Point two. And what I loved is, you know, 1,000 replays, which was great. He looked at the clock twice as he's dribbling down. Like, am I going to get this, or do I have to throw one?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a perfect
scenario for him, because you missed, it's OT, right? So at least, you know, but he laid it up, 0.2 left. Unbelievable. I just shocked. Absolutely.
What do you think of Kendrick Davis getting in his face straight away? What did you think of that?
Look, first, my first reaction, I've got to be honest with you. No, don't poke the bear. Don't do that. Yeah, don't. You don't need to do that. Then I start to think about it afterwards, and it's emotion. All the media and the hype that is coming between these two, because, you know, let's be honest. Yes, it's Adelaide versus Sydney. It's Kendrick versus Bryce, and you have to be very careful to not make it Kendrick versus Bryce. But the way the media, everything with what's going on, the emotion poured out, I don't have a problem with it. Was it right? Probably not. But do I have a problem with it? No, it's playoffs. But I thought Bryce's response was brilliant when they asked him about that. And he just said, that's playoffs.
Yeah. He's because he's a pro. But now we're talking about records. We've got record in the first game. We've got a record in game three where Kendrick's gone for 34 points, 15 assists, which breaks Ricky Grace's 1995 record of 14 in a championship series, 15 and zero turnovers in 40 minutes. That's a record. 18,000 373 people, the biggest crowd for a basketball game.
Yep.
An NBL game. We had a big one for the USA, Australia. But, for an NBL game, the biggest crowd of all time. I mean, they're setting some pretty high marks for themselves.
I'll tell you another one as well. The first 40-minute game in NBL history where two players had above 12 assists.
Mm.
Bryce Cotton had 12.
Yeah. But there you go. Bryce had 15 points in that game. In game two, he had 15 points in the last quarter. Yeah. So I think Sydney's defensive work is really wearing him down. Talk to me. Give me your Rosen Rattler.
Well, my Rosen Rattler this week is there's a lot of talk about what's going on with the Bogut scenario and the Grant Kelly scenario and everything like that. But the one that got me was the press conference after the Sydney Kings game 3 win, where Mike Wells goes into the change room and lets loose about the foul count and the Dellavedova thing. I have to be honest and say, I thought that was extraordinary coaching. That is brilliant. He takes the deflection away from the loss. He puts it back on the referees to say that this is not good enough. Bryce Cotton had X amount of free throws. Dellavedova didn't get a foul. How does that happen? And he has just changed that whole mindset where, you know, come Thursday, it is going to be on. Wednesday. Yeah. It is going to be on in that gym. I actually thought that was really well coached in a press conference.
Okay. Well, my nudge nasty was, I thought that was one of the most pathetic press conferences I've ever seen. a loathsome, pathetic attempt to change the narrative and get the referees on side. Okay. Let's think back to game one. Matthew Dellavedova had a foul in the opening seconds, had two fouls within 2 minutes and had to be subbed off. I don't recall Brian Gorgian in the press conference saying, oh, geez, they're a bit harsh on Delhi. They're all over Delhi. Didn't let Delhi move. He didn't say that bullshit. This is just an attempt to change the narrative, you know, and I distinctly saw two baskets scored by Adelaide players that were off travels, both of them with dunks, travels. I distinctly saw Flynn Cameron double dribble.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw that story. I remember.
Yes, you did. Didn't get called. You know, like it over the course of a game, unless you're a novice coach, better coaches know that over the course of the game, it evens out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to settle for threes, and let's face it, John Jenkins was terrific from outside early. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to get to the foul line as much as if you're taking long shots. You're just not. Mm-hmm. Now, you look at the Sydney Kings. Where did they go? Kendrick Davis was either scoring or creating for Xavier Cooks. Where does Xavier Cooks play? He plays in and around the basket. You know, so it's like, come on now. Let's be realistic. I'm the other way. I thought that was a really feeble attempt to try and change the narrative and get the referees on side. They will be, because I'm pretty sure the NBL wants a 5-game series, given the sort of crowds they're getting. So I think it will probably go 5. But I think if the game is well officiated, I think Sydney becomes the first team in history to win a championship in Adelaide, an opposition.
Yes,
team.
I saw that in your article, BOTINAGY, by the way, .com, Body Nodge. And I saw you in the article, and I couldn't believe that when I read that. No team has ever won a championship series deciding game in Adelaide.
No.
And I can't remember who you said, but you said Melbourne, Sydney, Perth,
yeah,
all of these other
years. Perth, Wollongong, Townsville, Sydney.
Unbelievable. Like that, when you said that, I was like, okay, I'm trying to think of like, is he wrong? But you can't, like, I can't, like, just amazing. Like, yeah. What about the North Melbourne turnaround? Did they go home and win that?
What, North Melbourne? They won the game. They won game one here, and then they won game two in Melbourne.
Is that the turnaround fadeaway from DMAC?
Yes, that was game one.
That was game one, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And then they wrapped it up in game two by 20-plus points. They won comfortably in game two.
That's why you are you, buddy. All right, so who you got? You think Adelaide will win game four?
I actually think Sydney, here's what Courtney Woods just said, that late in the game in game two, knowing they had a game three decider back home in Townsville, made them, you know, they get a free hit. And I think to some extent, Sydney gets a free hit. So I actually think Sydney wins it in four. I've said that all along, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if it went to five.
It's, you know, a closeout game is so difficult, right? And but they have the GOAT. and that's Brian Gorshin, right? And I saw an article again. I'm reading your articles this week on how well he coached. That after what happened at the end in that line with Kendrick Davis and, you know, the Bryce Cotton, I read your article and rightly so, you're like, wow, this could blow this team up. Then you go off and there's a, you know, issue between Grant Kelly and, you know, Bogut, and you're thinking, oh my God, this, where's this, you know, hope this doesn't affect the Kings, you know, will it affect Adelaide, what's going on and everything. Now, I don't know what happened after that. Not interested. All I am saying is that the Sydney Kings played a masterful game in game three. And Kendrick, for all that drama, if you want to call it, wow. Wow. Yep. Now, no question MVP of the grand final series is Bryce or Kendrick, depending who wins, right? That's it. There's daylight between everyone else. I thought Tim Suarez was game one. I thought Torrey Craig has been great, but no one's backed it up each game like those two have.
No. Xavier Cooks has been pretty damn good.
Zave's been great, but he's just not there. That's all I mean. The only thing that I worry for Adelaide, and I'm being honest, I want Adelaide to win because I want five. The only thing that worries me is Adelaide, in theory, only looked like they were going to win a game at the last second of one of these three games. Mm. They were never in game one. They played well in game two, but the Kings were up by 14. I thought they were great and John Jenkins was hitting some big shots and they stayed in the game. It just never felt like they were going to win that game on Sunday. I was there and it just didn't feel like they were going to win it.
I felt the same. I felt you're not going to beat Sydney in front of 18,000 people.
No, I always...
Those boys are going to find something extra, you know.
I just look, let's just see what happens. Throw the ball in the air and let it go.
Hey, we'll wrap it next week with our landmark milestone 200th episode of our podcast.
God, how have you put up with me? No wonder it gives you a cough. How did you put up with me for that long?
I don't know. I really don't know. Let's move on. Let's get
Thank you, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed 199 episodes of the Brad and Body podcast. Enjoy game four and what we hope will be game five, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, you know, at the end of the interview with Courtney, you said she's a gem.
Yeah.
Wasn't she a sapphire?
Oh, but actually, she's an opal.